I'm going to turn together now to God's Word. If you would turn with me, please, in Psalm 46. Can I say that this was, again, a psalm that someone approached me and said it's especially meaningful to them. And I'm happy to preach on it and indeed hear. We're going to hear from John McQuarrie why Psalm 46 is particularly special to him. But before we do, let us hear these words, the word of God. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. This is the word of God. John, would you come and share with us, please, what it is about Psalm 46 that makes it particularly meaningful to you?
The psalm really says it all. I was brought up in the Psalms in a little church in Strathpeffer. And I had to learn, not all the psalms, but quite a lot of them. And I was pleased to hear when Arlene spoke, that she spoke on one of the psalms that I had to learn. Psalm 46 is of special significance to me. Not that I have been the only one to go through problems and troubles. We all have. But through my own problems and troubles, I reached the point where I was unable to pray. But other folk prayed for me, and that was sufficient. I really got to grips then with Psalm 46. It stood out for me. We've heard that God said, I am. Psalm 46 says, God is. God is our refuge and strength. We know that God has helped us. We know that God will help us. But it's comforting to know that God is in the present. He is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in time of trouble. If we believe that, we can go on to the next verse, which says, therefore. God is, and then he says, therefore. We will not fear. And in my younger days in the Sunday school, when I had to learn this in the, obviously not in prose, but from the psalmody, when it came to this part, it frightened me. I had visions of hills moving into the seas, and everything that was a comfort round about me in my younger days was to be disturbed, because even at that age I knew if it was in here it was true. And I had these visions of mountains. It wasn't a pretty sight. But then, though the waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging, it goes on then to say, and I thought, Kenneth was going to steal my thunder this morning, because it said there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within it. She will not fail. And if you look at Revelation chapter 22, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree yielding its fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. There will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light, and they will reign forever and ever. This mirrors the words of Psalm 46. And then it goes on, come and see the Lord, the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars to cease to the ends of the earth. Complete contrast to my hills moving and jumping into the sea. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. And then, just a word of consolation. Be still and know that God is good. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. And then it reiterates what was said at the beginning. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. And I've written in at the bottom here, it's not in the psalm, but it's a quote we all know. If God is for us, who can be against us? And that's where I stand.
Thank you, John. Thank you very much.
Surely, friends, if there was ever a psalm for troubled times, Psalm 46 is such a psalm. It is the psalm which Martin Luther used as his inspiration for that great hymn, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. The time when Europe was changing dramatically, power shifting between the nations. And this young Roman Catholic priest, struggling for peace in his heart, struggling to find peace, struggling to know peace, and took it upon himself to study and make a deep study of the book of Romans. And he discovered there a faith that does not come from works. Having identified many, many areas where he had come to believe that what he was reading in the scriptures that did not, as it were, agree with what was being taught by the church of which he was a part, one day he put it down in writing. It wasn't a 3-point sermon. There were 95 points. And he took those 95 points or thesis statements, nailed them to the chapel door in Wittenberg. And the Protestant Reformation began. The gospel spread through Europe, sometimes through trial, often through pain. Through Geneva, through France, through Germany, through Scotland, through England. Here are people discovering that their only hope was Christ. Not the trappings of a religious organization, but faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. How easy each and every one of us can gather around ourselves things of which we may feel certain. Things that we may feel sure about. There for our comfort. There for our hope. And indeed, as religious people, so often we will find that the trappings of religion as something to give us hope and help in. Yet the glorious reality of which we sung just a moment ago is there is only one place of safety. There is only one place of shelter. There is only one hope. And that is the rock of ages that was cleft for us. The Lord Jesus Christ. A mighty fortress is our God. He's the safe place. He's the shelter. He's the one of whom the psalmist writes. It's not a psalm of David, although it could very easily have been David, but it is not attributed to David, because the focus isn't actually in this psalm about us. The focus is about God. It's about God. Our refuge, our strength, our ever-present help in trouble. Did I not say at the beginning that if there was ever a psalm for troubled times, it is this one. And what one of us could not say that we live in troubled times. Verse 2, verse 3. We will not fear though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. Well, maybe not all of us, but there must have been some of us have watched that little 16-year-old Swedish girl, Greta Thunberg. That child is terrified. She is terrified of what she believes the world is becoming. Convinced that we are on the verge of mass extinction. Now, friends, I want to make very clear this evening that God has made us stewards of all that he has made. We do not, as it were, have a mandate to simply, as it were, trash God's creation. We are stewards. Yet when I see that young girl so full of terror of what she fears for the future, I want to say there is a refuge. There is a strength. There is a help in trouble. And even though the earth give way, God is still God. God is still God. It burdened my heart in a particularly strong way this week, because I was so conscious of these youngsters coming along to our youth club on a Thursday night and really wondering how many of them are perhaps inwardly and secretly carrying some of the fears that this little Swedish girl has brought to the surface and made known as she addressed the United Nations. But do we have a generation of young people who are genuinely fearful for the future? Is the only thing we have to offer them Yet another strategy concerning climate change. And friends, hear me again, see this so clearly. I am not against taking efforts to care for our creation. Yet the Word of God says there is coming a day when the elements themselves will be burned up with fire. Well, there have been some who have criticized Christianity. And perhaps there are some who have actually, sadly, been guilty of almost behaving in such a way that the accusation could be leveled against them that says they think the sooner we destroy this world, the sooner Christ will come back. Friends, God is working to his timetable. And certainly no Christian should enter into the silly notion that somehow, by us seeking to actively destroy the created order, that we'll bring God back quicker. No. There is one day in God's purpose. There is a day that Paul speaks of in the book of Romans. A day when he speaks of the full number of the Gentiles being gathered in. There will come a day when every last man, woman, boy and girl in all of creation who will be saved and turn to the Savior will be saved. And I believe the Father will turn to the Son and say, your bride is complete. Your bride is complete. And then the Lord will come for his own. I remember being touched because I've conducted lots of weddings, but I can only think of one wedding where the vows in their final line said, until death us do part, or the Lord comes for his own. It was the vows that I was asking my daughter, my son-in-law, to repeat after me at their wedding. Till death us do part, or the Lord comes for his own. One way or the other, friends, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. But what comfort do we find in these verses? Because verse 2 and 3 speaks of the most unimaginable global catastrophe. I noticed a friend of mine who I've known for many years posting a comment on Facebook earlier this week, and he was going back to a time that blissfully I was unaware of, but some of you will remember. And he was speaking in context of the real fear of what is in the future in terms of these things. And the thing that he contrasted it with, and some of you will be able to relate to this, was in the early days of satellites, when satellites were scanning and traveling the earth and taking photographs and sending them back down. And a satellite passing over the island of Cuba took some images that cast a huge shadow of fear upon the world. Because there on the island of Cuba, the images that had been taken showed very clearly the silos being built. The silos being built for nothing other than nuclear warheads. Within minutes of traveling time of the United States of America. He said he remembers, and I guess it was Richard Dimbleby, as that news was given in the 10 o'clock news or whatever, and then trying to find something of comfort to say to people going to bed, wondering if perhaps World War III would have started before they woke up. And he said the next night he went to Westminster Chapel, where Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones was preaching. And Lloyd-Jones brought the perspective that as Christians we need to know that no matter what catastrophe we may fear, we have a God who is on the throne. And this is the God who is revealed to us in Psalm 46. There's a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. You know, you read this and you're thinking to yourself, has a psalmist ever been to Jerusalem? Because it certainly doesn't sound like Jerusalem at the time the Psalms were written. It doesn't sound like Jerusalem today. Oh, there are rivers in the region, but one whose streams make glad the city of God? Unless perhaps the psalmist is glimpsing a future, glimpsing an eternity, as he sees a God who is eternal. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. You know, here we're thinking one moment about catastrophic climate change, and the next thing we're wondering, as if by the middle of this week, we'll have a prime minister, or will we have an election looming, or whatever happens. Okay, it may not be the nations falling, but nations are in uproar. Nations are in uproar. Kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. Friends, in troubled times, in troubled times, whether we fear ecological disaster or political uncertainty, Psalm 46 is a psalm for such times. Because it reminds us that our God is all these things. Our refuge. Our one to run to. Our strength. Our one to cling to. Our ever-present help in trouble. Our one to rely upon is our God. And thank you, John, for pointing this out. Therefore, we will not fear. That's why we won't fear. Because these things are true. This is who our God is. And no matter what happens, he will still be our God. He's with us. God of Jacob is our fortress. You know, there are times in the Word of God where God's whole prophetic plan and purpose doesn't follow our perfect timeline. There are times when in the Word of God, and here in Psalm 46, there is something of an example of that, but how much more the case in the book of Revelation, where we seem in one chapter to be looking on things as they are unfolding on earth, but in the next chapter look at things as they are in heaven. And yes, whilst in verse 4 we read of this river making glad the city of God, we're being reminded that God is with his people. God is within her. She will not fall. Oh, in the Babylonian exile, Jerusalem fell. In AD 70, Jerusalem fell. So what does this mean? What does this mean? It means that the God who is forever will not fall. And that forever Jerusalem, which I believe is that new Jerusalem, will be for all time. An eternal refuge. But what of our world? A world where nations are in uproar and kingdoms do fall. Even in the midst of it all, God says to us, I am with you. The Lord Almighty is with us. Verse 1, ever present. Verse 5, God within her. Verse 7, the Lord Almighty is with us. Echoed again in verse 11, the Lord Almighty is with us. These verses could have been read and heard. And people say, as people still say today, if God is real, where is he? If God is there, why can't we see him? If God is real, why does he not put on flesh and come down among us? Till a young girl in Nazareth has an encounter that leaves her puzzled and humbled, because she has been told that she will bear the Christ child. And yes, said the angel, he will be named Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. We have a God who put on flesh and came among us. And not only did he come, as it were, to comfort us by his presence, he came to save us by his sacrifice. Not only given the name Emmanuel, but given the name Jesus. Because, and you know it as well as I do, you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Friends, there will be no one saved but that has been saved through Jesus. There will be no one saved but who will be atoned, their sins atoned for, not by their own deeds. All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. And there on Calvary's cross, he made full atonement for all the sins of all his people. We can know salvation. But you know, there will come a day when all man's troubles, all man's wars, all man's fightings, everything that brings fear will come to an end. Come see the works of the Lord. The desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Our God is the one who will bring this broken, warring world to its conclusion. With a new heaven and a new earth. And a day of reckoning. Those who know him, those who long for his return, brought into his presence. But those who thought nothing of him, and did not turn to him. Sent off into eternal separation, judgment, darkness. Yes, there are those who use the language of catastrophe to speak of hell. They speak of the troubles that we sometimes face, the things that go on in this world, friends. Nothing that man has experienced can truly, I believe, compare with the horror that hell will be. Nothing. Yet nothing. Nothing can compare with the glory and joy that heaven will be for those who long for his appearing. Nothing. Nothing will prepare us for that. But there is a hell to shun and there's a heaven to gain. And that is why in this world of troubles, we must proclaim Christ. We must make Christ known. He is the one who is with us. He is the one who will one day rule the nations. Oh, we do not yet see all things under his feet, the writer of the letter to the Hebrews says. No, we don't see all things under his feet, but what do we see? No, who do we see? We see Jesus. We see Jesus. We keep our eyes on him. This is a God who says, be still and know that I am God. And I marvel at the way we can read this. On the one hand, we can read that as his children and see there a heavenly Father who quiets us and calms us with his word, be still. But for those who are not his own, for those who would even yet in the day of his appearing raise their voice against him when he says, be still, there will be no talking back. No talking back. Because he is God. He will be exalted in the nations and the earth. He is with us. But as I said earlier in verse 4, I believe we're given a glimpse of what is yet to come. John made reference to it, and sorry, John, if I caused you panic when you already thinking about what you were going to say this evening, heard me read those verses from Revelation 22 at the end of our worship this morning. But yes, the psalmist simply made passing reference to this river whose streams make glad the city of God. But the Apostle John saw a much fuller picture. Much fuller. Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. It's never out of season. It's never out of season. Of course, that tree of life was there in the garden. That tree of life in the Garden of Eden was there for Adam and Eve to come and feed from and be sustained from. When they sinned, it wasn't eating the tree of life that they sinned by eating. It was the tree of knowledge of good and evil. But having done so, they had to be kept from eating the tree of life. Why? Because they would eat and live forever. And it's as if in Genesis chapter 3. The tree of life is put beyond our reach. It's beyond our reach. And in Revelation chapter 22, it's there for the taking. It's there for the taking. Yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. We cannot begin to imagine what that means. But in that new heaven, in that new earth, the curse will be reversed. I believe there will be everything there was in Eden, except for one thing: sin. No sin. No sin. Oh, and no tears, and no crying, and no pain, and no death. For the old order of things will have passed away. There'll be no more night, for the Lord God will give them white, and they will reign forever and ever. How wonderful that in this psalm that gives us hope in the midst of our troubles, we are pointed towards a day when troubles will cease. I love that song. It's kind of southern gospel song. There is coming a day when no troubles. See, I don't remember all the words. Well, but I can tell you the chorus. What a day that will be when my Saviour I will see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day. Glorious day that will be. Oh, and friends, may it be that each one of us, knowing Christ as our Savior, knows that that is a day that not only will we long for, but that is a day that will come. Because he who testifies to these things says, yes, I'm coming soon.